Well, we have an organic grass-based dairy. We milk about 90 cows, and we have about 60 paddocks on the farm. So after each milking, the cows get fresh grass. And we also have an on-farm processing system. So we pasteurize our milk on the farm, and we make bottled milk and yogurt and cheese, and we market it all locally in our town of 10,000 people through three grocery stores and about a half a dozen restaurants.
How did you go about establishing the market?
Well, actually, it's many, many years. My wife Susan and I took over this dairy in 1992, but this dairy started out in 1980 just a little co-op of a couple families that had two cows. And over the years, they gradually increased the number of cows, and they sold milk to neighbors and friends, and it was raw milk at that time. In 1987, the state of Iowa stepped in and said they had to pasteurize it, so that began. And then in 1992, when my wife and I took it over, we were milking about 20 cows then, and we moved to a new location because the farm wasn't large enough. We built new facilities in the early 90s. And then gradually, as the market grew, we began to add cows, you know, over the many years. It probably grew 5 or 10% per year over many years.
Has it always been Jerseys?
It's always been Jerseys, yes, which has a special appeal for direct marketing of products because it's a richer milk. Even the skim milk with the cream removed has higher other solids like proteins and so on. And so people who drink our skim milk, they don't like to drink other skim milk because it doesn't have nearly the solids and flavor in it.
And you market pretty well within your local area then, correct?
That's right. Within a radius of 5 miles from the farm, all within our little town.
Ah. Talk a bit about what's in the pastures. What do you do with the pastures? What's growing in them?
We have a mixture of grasses and clovers. We try to get a lot of diversity and throw a little chicory in there too. And then maybe some alfalfa too, even some special alfalfas for grazing. And so we try to have a lot of diversity, and by managing it right, we can maintain that diversity pretty well. So that's an important part of it.
Now, you pasture April through December, and then what do you feed them during the wintertime?
In the wintertime, we of course, feed hay that we've made during the summer. Early in the spring and summer, when the grass grows really fast, the cows can't keep up grazing it, so we make hay on some areas and then have that for winter feed. And more recently, we've gotten some more land, and so I'm just beginning to try to grow all the rest of my crops. We do feed some grain, too. In the summer, we feed about 6 pounds per cow per day. In the winter, about 10 or 12 pounds per cow per day. And so we do have some grain needs, and so I'm trying to now grow and try to make the farm as self-sufficient as possible.
What kind of grain ration?
Well, actually, I mostly feed small grains, like mostly barley with some wheat, maybe and some oats. The reason being is that even the organic corn sometimes comes up with low levels of GMOs in it, and I have a very fussy customer base, and they really don't want to see that. So just to avoid the problem, I have been feeding small grains for the most part. However, now there are some new corn varieties out there that that are exclusive to their own pollen, so they won't accept pollen from genetically engineered crops. So that's something that I want to look into trying as well.
What about overall animal health? What are any challenges, and how do you handle those?
Well, our animal health is actually pretty good, and to a great reason, because we don't push the cows real hard for high production. Their forage, their diet is mostly forage-based, and unlike most conventional dairy farms today, feed a lot of corn, and corn makes a lot of milk, but it also is not what the cow's rumen is made to digest, and it makes it for an acid stomach, which has a lot of associated problems metabolically and in other areas of the cow's health. So our cow's health is actually pretty good. We do, of course, everywhere you always have some problems here and there, and there's a growing number of herbal kind of remedies that can be used for health problems for cows, for organic dairy farms and other organic operations.
How about the pedigrees on the animals? Pretty well homegrown herd, or do you bring in some outside cattle once in a while?
Well, our cows are all registered Jerseys. They were registered Jerseys. I haven't actually kept up the paperwork on it, but they're all purebred Jerseys. And we do a lot of our own breeding, raising of wolves from our own herd, but I also use some artificial insemination. So I can select bulls that I think will work well in our grazing system. And what I tend to do is use artificial insemination on some of my better cows, and then the offspring from that if I get a bull offspring, I can use that as a herd sire. So I can, you know, combine the best of my genetics to my herd with the best of genetics I can select from elsewhere. And so, and that allows me to do things like I'm trying to now select for polled cows. That, of course, people who aren't familiar, polled means they don't have any horns naturally. And also there's a new trend these days to try to select for protein in the milk that has what's called A2 protein, which is supposed to be a more highly digestible and a healthier protein. So I'm selecting for some of those key characteristics and trying to bring those genetics into my herd.
Any other characteristics that you look for when selecting a bull?
Well, I think in general, grazing dairy farmers tend to look for cows that are more mid-sized and not so big. Over the years, we've tried to, with conventional dairying, we've kind of selected more and more for cows that are bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, in essence, we've selected for cows that are big and do well eating corn, standing on concrete. It's kind of what the breeding tendency has been for the last 50, 60 years. So grazing dairy farmers tend to look at other characteristics, something that's more moderate-sized and something a cow that has a large capacity for eating a lot of forage. And so a little bit different characteristics there. And we tend to, I think, look more holistically for cows that are good all around, that breed regularly, that are healthy, that have good characteristics all around, rather than putting all the most of the emphasis on high production.
Any idea what the average age is on the herd right now?
I don't know what the average age is. We have a couple of 12-year-old cows in the herd right now. But, you know, the other thing is that we often end up having more milk than we need, so I need to sell cows. And what I find is a lot of people in the area and the state have been calling me looking for a family cow. And so what I will do often is when I have too much milk for our market, I will select some cows that are maybe not the highest producers or maybe have some limitation or maybe getting older, and I'll sell them to a family that wants a family cow. I sell them cheap. And they always really love them because they produce more than enough milk for the family. And I try to make sure that they're pregnant again so they'll have another calf and keep on cycling. So that's where a number of our older cows sometimes end up going.
Do you sell bulls and what?
We actually sell most of our bulls when they're babies because we don't want to raise all those bulls on our... We have enough to do just to take care of the female animals and raise the heifers on the farm.
Talk about the processing plant. What do you all do there?
Well, we make bottled milk. We make whole milk in 2% and skim milk. And the cream that comes off the skim in 2%, we bottle as whipping cream. So that we sell that separately as whipping cream. And then we make some kind of cheeses. We make a simple Monterey Jack cheese and something called paneer. It's an Asian kind of a cheese. And then we also make ricotta cheese. And then we also make yogurt.
Okay. Are you the cheesemaker?
Well, actually, my wife does most of the cheesemaking as far as the Jack cheese. My wife and I are both full-time on the farm. We also have about 4 employees on the farm. Most of our employees do most of the processing and cleaning up and delivery of the products. But on Mondays and Thursdays when we bottle milk, Susan, my wife, and I get up extra early before milking, and we start the processing process, sanitize the equipment, and pump over the milk and get it heated up. And then when our employees show up, they can finish the processing for the day.
Where to from here for the farm?
Well, we are pretty happy with that. We have a local market that we've grown over the years, and it's a good market. And the local people who buy our product, they really tend to like it. And so... we think it's a pretty well-established market, and it tends to continue to grow. So we still have some capacity to grow. We have about 450 acres on the farm right now. And, of course, there is a biological limit to how many cows you can have on a grazing dairy farm because cows have to walk out and graze and come home for milking. And so there's a limit. But I think we still have some capacity to grow and still have a solid grazing farm. One thing is that our farm, when we took it over, we moved to this farm in 1996. And it had been in corn and soybeans for many years, the land was. And it's pretty hilly for Iowa. Southern Iowa is pretty hilly. And it was very eroded away. Some places, all the topsoil was gone. And so we're kind of rebuilding the soil now. And so so that's not going to happen overnight, but we can see productivity increases as we go along. And so it's nice to watch that increasing, you know, of soil fertility and so on. But we think that that will also help our capacity to produce in the future.
There are people out there who are looking to get into organic dairying, who maybe are considering converting a conventional farm to an organic dairy. Your advice to them?
Well, right now is a good time to do it, actually, because there is a shortage of organic milk. I've seen some reports around the country that some places on the grocery store shelf, there are signs up that say, you know, we're out of organic milk, and so wait till next Monday or something.
Mm-hmm.
So now is a good time to get into it if you're interested in getting into it. And if you're thinking of on-farm processing, that is also, you know, something that you can do, especially if you live near a larger city or maybe a university town where there's a specialty market that you could develop there. But that's a separate thing that shouldn't be undertaken without a lot of planning and foresight.
Would you suggest the best way is to, if you can market locally, that you do take advantage of that as opposed to marketing through national?
Well, if you really have an inclination to want to do the local marketing and you have, you know, you think you have the market base close by, then I think you could look into it. But not everybody wants to do that. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend, as a matter of fact, I get a lot of dairy farmers who come to my farm and look at what we're doing with processing and they're thinking about doing it. And I tend to discourage them because, you know, if people are easily discouraged, then they probably wouldn't stick with it. But those who, in spite of my discouragement, will want to do it, you can see if they have the commitment that it would take to make it happen, because it's not something that you can undertake lightly, because there's quite a bit of an investment. To put together an on-farm dairy processing facility would probably cost a minimum of $250,000, something over $1 million, just to get it up and going and inspected and ready to go. So it's not something that you can do, you know, easily. And there are some complications. Some dairy co-ops and so on do not want to buy milk from you if you are beginning to process on the farm and sell some of your milk locally. And so you have to make a quantum leap. You either have to do it all or nothing. And it's harder to transition into it if your co-op doesn't want to cooperate and help you out in that transition.
I know one of the challenges right now for organic dairy is, of course, the cost of feed. If a person is looking to go into an organic operation, are they better off to make sure they have the land so they can eventually grow the feed, or is it still financially feasible to buy feed and produce organic milk?
Well, I think the key thing is to make sure you have enough base to have good grazing, have a really solid grass-based dairy farm. And I would like to see, you know, at least 2 acres per cow. So you have, you know, capacity for drought and so on. So you got the good forage base, you're in good shape. You can have if you can graze your cows and make your hay for the winter. And the grain you can buy, but maybe you can work into your rotation where you can grow some on your own. But the forage base, I think, is the critical part.
All right. Any other ideas or any other things you'd like to say?
Well, you know, speaking on that point of forage, is some grazing dairy farms and some organic grazing dairy farms don't feed any grain at all. And over the years, we've been trying to decrease the amount of grain we feed our cows, and I don't know if we're going to get down to zero or not, but part of it is having to convert your genetics because, as I mentioned earlier, the cows in this country, the genetics have been kind of selected for cows that stand on concrete and eat a lot of corn. And so to get it back so that cows can keep good body condition on just grass and produce a reasonable amount of milk, will take a bit of selective breeding and so on, but you also need a high-quality forage. But that's one option in the future or for somebody to do, is to not use any grain at all, just to have a complete forage base. It would take really good management to do that, though.
Do you seed the pastures or renovate the pastures at all?
I do. I try to keep a mixture of about half clovers and about half grass, and often over time the clovers will diminish in the pasture and the grass will get more predominant. So I have a no-till drill, and I have in the past used frost seeding, which you can spread the seed this time of the year, and it'll begin to plant. Not as successful as with a no-till drill. I've been very successful in coming back and replanting the clovers when needed, and even adding some improved grasses as needed. So that no-till drill has been very helpful for helping keep the pastures as I'd like them to be.
Now, can people visit the farm? Are you open to people stopping in?
We get a lot of visitors, and we in particular get a lot of visitors from our community, people who are buying our milk and so on. But we also get visitors from other dairy farmers and classes from universities and so on. So, yeah, we do. If people want to contact us, we can show them around.